All right, Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Falcon Cast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Jay Adams, Daniel Cox, joining you again from Flowery Branch as we continue to get ready for the NFL draft, which is just about a month away. Feels like I say that every week, but...
No, it's almost exactly a month.
Almost there. Yeah. So
actually, a little less than a month.
Yeah, yeah. So we got some great stuff the last time from Bleacher Report's NFL draft lead writer, Matt Miller, and we've got him back on the show once again. And this is a very busy man, so we appreciate him taking his time out of his day to speak with us. Matt, how are things going? How are you holding up?
Holding up well, guys. I'm when you said there's only a month left to the draft, I got kind of excited because I'm sure, like you guys, I'm looking forward to a few hopefully quiet months over the summer. But this is a really exciting time of year for, you know, people who are in my line of work and for every fan of every NFL team. You know, everyone has a shot right now to be a Super Bowl winner, so it's a pretty cool time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of my favorite times of year. I know that the NFL is turning into a 365-day-a-year industry just as far as all the different things that are going on. And one of the big things that's going on right now is that scouts and front offices are preparing for the draft next month. Where are teams at right now in their draft planning and scouting leading up to the draft, Matt?
Well, as it stands right now, you know, every team has their big board pretty much set. I mean, it's obviously a fluid process for NFL teams, just like it is for, you know, guys in the media who are evaluating players. But it's very much fluid. We're looking at wrapping up pro days here within the next week. And after that, I think, you know, teams are going to go back and reevaluate not only their individual needs, but also some of the players who may have impressed them at pro days. You know, a pro day is a great chance to look at a guy, get a gauge for his athletic ability, and then you go home and queue up the film, and your general manager and your head coach and all the decision makers really get a chance to reevaluate a player. So we're in the home stretch where teams kind of know what they've been able to fill with free agency, what they might be able to fill over the next month in free agency, and they're really starting to build out that draft board, you know, with some finality to say, you know, this is going to be our top guy, this is going to be our, you know, number 100 guy. So they're getting close.
You know, Matt, I think some people were surprised in free agency this year by the quarterback market. I think there's a lot of names where there were a lot of names, some guys that have had some really good careers in the NFL, but, you know, the market wasn't quite there for them. And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with what most people consider a pretty deep cornerback class this year. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think so. And, you know, if you look at even now, some of the best corners available are guys who we all know well. But it is a deep class in this year of corners. You know, I have 10 guys in my top 100 at that position. So it just goes to show there are a lot of corners who could step right in and be big-time contributors. And there's such good value there now. And if you have an opportunity to get younger, faster, and cheaper, well, you have to take that opportunity. So I think a lot of teams are waiting on the corner market to see exactly how the draft shapes up. And then we'll probably see some of these more recognizable players get signed after the draft.
You know, Matt, earlier this week we said goodbye to a longtime Falcon, Todd McClure, who played 13 seasons here in Atlanta, officially announcing his retirement. Last year, the Falcons in position to take Peter Kahns, who I think most people thought that he wouldn't be there by the time the Falcons picked in the second round. But it looks like he's in line to take over at the center position. What was your take on Kahns, and what did you see as kind of his ceiling last year when you were looking at him going into last year's draft?
Well, I really liked Peter Kahns last year. I thought he offered good versatility as a guard or center prospect, you know, a guy who could do a couple different things. He did have some injuries last year that I think pushed him down the board. But I think Kahns, like so many Wisconsin players, could step right in and be a contributor this year. I thought he was the best center in last year's class. I had him rated as my number 26 overall player. So to me, he looks like a future Pro Bowler. And I think in the Atlanta scheme, I think he's a really great fit because he has some movement. And that experience at guard has really molded him into an all-around type of player who can do some things. You know, we're seeing more centers have to get out in space and make blocks. I think Kahns can do that. I think, you know, you're looking at a guy drafted late second round who could come in and really solidify the offensive line. And I think they drafted him knowing that he was going to have to play sooner rather than later.
26 overall, that's pretty good. Talking about guys that move in space, you know, I'm kind of interested in the return market this year, the kick returners, punt returners, and that's not a position group that we hear a lot about. It's typically like a side skill, if you will. But I'm kind of curious about those guys this year. I'm wondering, when you sit down as a scout, what types of things or traits do you analyze when you're looking at film of a kicker or a punt returner? And can you just discuss some of those guys that are kind of standouts to you this year in those roles?
Yeah, I mean, kick and punt returner it's a tough position to evaluate based just purely on, you know, technique or ability. So I'm really looking for guys who show burst in the open field. You know, someone who can accelerate away from defenses, and then just vision, being able to find openings, find creases. So I think being a returner, it's as much about vision as it is about pure speed or open field moves. So, I mean, you know, two of the better return men in this year's class, Tavon Austin and Cordarrelle Patterson, are going to go off the board pretty early, but they're both so electric in the open field. So I think that really increases their stock. I mean, you look at guys like Marquise Goodwood from Texas or Robert Alford from Southeastern Louisiana, two guys with just exceptional raw speed. They have that burst. They have the ability to just outrun people to the corner and then accelerate. So with that, I think you can teach them to be patient, to let blocks get set up and then find the crease. But this is a pretty deep class. If you need a speedster, you need a return man, you've got a good opportunity to find someone who can probably also contribute as a number three receiver or as a number three corner and come in and still help you on special teams.
Now, Matt, I'm going to ask you about the quarterback position, and I know that's going to sound a little strange considering the Falcons having Matt Ryan and certainly seem to be set at that position for quite a number of years ahead. But it seems like the quarterback position in this year's draft class is in flux. We always hear about different quarterbacks kind of taking the lead as kind of that top guy, and you know, in previous drafts, it certainly hasn't been that way. It seemed like there's always been a clear number one or number two quarterback in the draft. This year, not so. How do you think that may affect the Falcons when it comes to that number 30 pick and teams that could potentially try to get back up into the first round to take a quarterback that they covet?
Well, yeah, the Falcons are in a great spot at number 30 for a team who's going to be trading back in. You know, on average, three quarterbacks go in the first round every year. And I think, you know, we're all pretty set in stone that Geno Smith is going to go in the top 10, most likely. Matt Barkley may go in the top 10 as well. And then you have a team probably trading back up to get Ryan Nassib or E.J. Manuel or Mike Glennon, maybe Tyler Wilson. But I think Atlanta's in a good spot where, you know, we could see them trade back a little bit. You know, it's similar to last year where the Cleveland Browns traded up to get Brandon Weeden. I think we could see something very similar to that. 30 is a good spot, I think, because you get in front of those teams at the top of the second round who could be looking for a quarterback prospect, and then you can still get good value because the Falcons' needs, at least, you know, D end, maybe a corner, are some of the deeper positions in this year's draft. So if you find a team, you know, whether it's Jacksonville or Oakland or Buffalo, whomever, who wants to come back into the top of the second round, I think that might be your starting point to see, okay, let's get ahead of, you know, you want to get ahead of San Francisco and Baltimore because they're known for trading back. So if you can get to 30, I think you're in a pretty good spot.
You know, back to guys currently on the Falcons roster, you had an article recently, and it's a series that Bleacher Report's running on the top 1,000 players, and you were breaking down the top 50 4-3 DNs. You have Corey Bierman, ranked number 47. I'm just, you know, and you're you explain it on the site, on the article, but I'm just curious if you can just discuss him as a player and kind of what you see out of him to get him in that top 40 and you know, just some of your thoughts on him.
Yeah, you know, I was really a fan of Bierman, and I have been for a number of years. I think it's almost sounds like a cliche, but he's such like a high motor player. He's one of those guys who really sets the tempo for the defense. And while he doesn't make a ton of plays on his own, I think he creates situations where other guys can step up and make plays by putting pressure on the pocket from the coming off that left edge of the defense. But you know, we felt like he was a much better run defender than pass rusher at this point in his career. You know, he's a stout, stocky, strong left defensive end, and he really plays that part well of being a prototypical run stopper. As far as pass rush goes, you know, just didn't see a ton of production from Bierman. He doesn't have that The quickness that you really want coming off the edge. He's not a guy who's going to, loop outside the right tackle and be like Cameron Wake and dip his shoulder and drive and get to the quarterback. But he does get pressure on the pocket. And that was something that we liked. But, probably ideally, for me, a situational player. I think he is very good on first and second down, stopping the run, and can rush the passer on occasion. But I think defensive end is still a big need for Atlanta because, the other Atlanta defensive end that we ranked was number 8 overall. That was John Abraham, who's not with the team anymore. So it's definitely one of those positions where I think everyone has highlighted defensive end as an area where the Falcons have to get better this offseason.
Well, I'm going to go off script because you've got in your mock draft, you've got the Falcons taking Texas defensive end Alex Okafor. Is that the most updated one that you've put out there, Matt?
Yeah, I believe so. That's kind of constantly changing, so I have trouble remembering which is which, but I think that is the most recent. Okafor has been a favorite of mine at that 30 spot for Atlanta, so that's a guy who has pretty often been put in that spot.
So the draft starts tonight. Going into the draft, the way things are right now, you would say the Falcons take Okafor? We're trying to get a name out of everybody.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think with the way the draft board kind of fell on that particular mock draft, I think Okafor is the best defensive end available. You see guys like Dayton Jones and Bjorn Warner coming off the board pretty much right before the number 30 pick. But I like Okafor. I like the fact that he was versatile at Texas. He played left and right end. He can stop the run. He can rush the quarterback. I say this about so many Texas players year in and year out, but he wasn't really put in the right scheme and the right system for his abilities. And that's kind of been the case there for a few years. So he was never really allowed to just pin his ears back and be a pass rusher, really until the bowl game, and he had 4 sacks. So I think Okafor is one of those guys who going to be a much better pro than he was college player just because he'll finally get in a system that lets him be a pass rusher and be an aggressive guy coming up the edge.
Awesome, Matt. Well, thank you so much for joining us again. I know it's so busy for you this time of year. Hopefully you make it through the next month unscathed and we'll get you on to worrying about next year's draft. So thanks again for joining us.
You bet, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Great stuff from Matt Miller. Glad to have him back on the show. You want to talk about a guy who certainly does a lot of the film study, lot of looking at players, and if you follow him on Twitter, NFL Draft Scout, he certainly lends some insight into all the work that goes into to his analysis. And so it's great to have a guy on the show with that kind of insight, because he certainly certainly has his finger on the pulse of everything that's going on.
Absolutely,
with the draft class this year. So.
Incidentally, his second round pick was Darius Slay, the cornerback from Mississippi State. So,
yeah, name I'm hearing a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. Too. So he's, like you say, he's got his finger. I feel like he pays attention to not just perceived needs, but he kind of digs in a little bit to every team and tries to really get it right. And I think he does a really nice job.
Absolutely, and again, you can see him on. On BleacherReport.com is the NFL Draft lead writer there, and also catch him on Twitter, NFL Draft Scout on Twitter. So check Matt out for sure. All right, let's get on to Falcons Flash, our one story from the week that caught our eye. And Daniel, you go ahead and lead it off again.
Yeah, this came from the Augusta Chronicle. Actually, it came late last week. It was around Thursday. and as many of us recall, most of the Falcons front office contingent, Coach Mike Smith included, were up in Athens. I guess that's Athens from Flowery Branch, Georgia. Over in Athens for Georgia's Pro Day. And then Coach Smith did something pretty interesting. And he doesn't get a chance too much anymore to do a lot of speaking engagements, but he did do one at the Augusta Marriott at the convention center there. He was the guest speaker at the Georgia Carolina Council Boy Scouts of America Friends of Scouting Leadership Dinner, which is a lot of words, but I think that's pretty fantastic. I come from a scout or a family of scouts. My brother is an Eagle Scout. My dad is was a longtime Scoutmaster, so scouts close to my heart. Coach Smith was there, and he obviously talked about the lack of an off season and how busy everything was. But he said he was happy to have the opportunity to participate in the Boy Scouts appearance. He felt like the Boy Scouts are something that he is a supporter of, and the positive opportunities that come from the Scouts. He said I'm an outdoors person. I enjoy fishing, hiking, biking, and things like that. So it gives kids an opportunity to get out and do things like that. And it's really faith-based and value-based, and that's very important as well. And, you know, I just felt like that was something that I had not heard about until I started digging around, and I was happy to see Coach Smith showing his support to Boy Scouts. And, again, that's something that I also support, and I share that passion with him, I think. So that's pretty cool, I thought.
All right, excellent. Well, for me, the biggest thing of the week for me was just earlier this week, Todd McClure retiring, and this is a perfect segue into our closing portion of this show. But the most interesting thing for me is that Todd McClure one day will be a member of the Falcons Ring of Honor, as was announced by team owner and chairman Arthur Blank at his Todd's retirement ceremony on Monday. I asked this question on Twitter right from the start when we knew that Todd was going to walk away. But is he a Ring of Honor candidate? And overwhelmingly, Twitter said yes.
Yeah.
And as they should, because when you talk about the people who deserve to be in there, I think when you look at the career Todd McClure had, the contributions that he made to the organization. Just in today's free agency era, with how rare it is to spend 13 years with one franchise and to have that loyalty to say, hey, I don't want to go anywhere else. And this is a guy who, you know, his contract ran out a couple of times. And he was always wanting to come back. And, you know, I think this is one of those things where you don't even think about it. It's going to happen. And great for Todd. Great for the organization. He certainly deserves to be mentioned with all those names that are currently in the Ring of Honor. And I'm just excited for it. I can't wait. You know, let's do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Say.
First,
you know,
yeah.
Because it's something that definitely needs to be done. As soon as we know, you know, more about when that will all happen, you know, we'll certainly have that information for fans. And I'm sure it'll be before or probably at halftime of a home game. Either, you know, well, we don't know what year, but you know, certainly it'll happen as soon as the organization can figure it out. And I can't wait, because I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah, well deserved. And he's always said, he's always joked that he always wanted to stay in Atlanta. And he, you know, certainly, like you said, careers lasting that long in the same place don't happen too often anymore. And, you know, Todd's always said that the Falcons have drafted guys to replace me repeatedly over and over. And he's always managed to be the last guy standing. So I'm proud of the fact for him that, you know, he's going to get that honor, and, you know, well-deserved, and he's a true Falcon.
Absolutely. And so we'll get into wrapping up the show here. I'm going to give you five things you didn't know about Todd McClure. And we're going to start out with Todd holding two franchise records. Most consecutive starts at 144, which was snapped in the 2011 season opener at Chicago. Todd had a knee injury then and sat out that one game. And he has the most career starts at 195. Certainly going back to what I just said, qualifications to be mentioned in the Ring of Honor conversation. Number two, he was an All-American and a two-time SEC selection while at LSU. Team captain as a senior, and became the Tigers' starting center halfway through his freshman year. So kind of started out with that pedigree.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
As kind of a, you know, it's amazing. Number three, he was one of three LSU players picked in the 1999 draft. Defensive tackle Anthony McFarland was a first-round pick at number 15 overall by Tampa. And then running back Kevin Falk was a second-round pick, number 46 overall by New England. And McClure had to wait a little bit after they went, as he was a seventh-round pick by the Falcons in 1999 at number 236 overall. And it begs the question, is he the best seventh-round pick ever by the Atlanta Falcons organization?
That's a pretty.
Because there's another name out there, Jamal Anderson, who is also a seventh rounder. So certainly
who Todd McClure, one of three running backs that Todd McClure, one of three 1,000-yard running backs that Todd McClure blocked for.
Yep. So certainly a conversation that could be had there.
Absolutely.
Number four, nickname Mud Duck, came from Al Miller, the Falcons strength and conditioning coach from 1997 to 2005, who was also a Louisiana native, and he's currently the Oakland Raiders strength coach. And he's so Todd, obviously, most affectionately known as Mud Duck. And number five, he owns a 60-acre farm in Louisiana where he raises bucking bulls. And the bulls are used in rodeos. McClure's uncle was a bull rider and a rodeo clown. His herd sire, the male bull for breeding, is one of the sons of Blueberry Wine, which, as we all know,
yes,
is one of the best bucking bulls ever to grace this earth. And so there's five things that you need to know about Todd McClure as we bid bon voyage into retirement for him. Yes. So, gotta love that guy.
Yeah.
Love and that guy. Gonna miss him.
Yeah. And he joked about sitting on the couch watching games and everything. But, you know, he's gonna be out there working on his farm. He'll be working with the son of Blueberry Wine, I suppose.
Lucky man.
Yeah. Absolutely. A legend in the bucking bull industry.
Right. All right, Daniel, what do we got?
One last thing. Yeah, I thought we'd maybe switch things up. You know,
so this is for the people who make it this far in our podcast.
Yes.
So this if you've
is,
made it
this
far.
This is actually a test to see if anyone's truly listening.
We are going
to
reward
after
you
Matt Miller, the Matt Miller segment or the Alex Marvez segment or the Dave Choate segment.
Right. We are going to reward you for making it this far in our rambling.
Yes, yes. So
we know you come for our guests and you stay for the... I don't know why you stay.
You stay for the free stuff.
Yeah, you stay for the free stuff.
So, Jay, you know, I know you don't follow the NBA a whole lot. But
I don't follow it at all.
There's a team down in South Florida called the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Just so happens, they've won a bunch of games in a row. 27, in fact. They're going for the NBA record, which is 33, set by one of those Lakers teams. I don't know which one. So it got me thinking, what's the longest win streak in Falcons history? Hmm. And I happen to know it.
Okay.
I wonder if there's a fan that can tell me on Twitter after they've listened to this segment of the FalconCast podcast, if they can tell me what the number of consecutive games is and the year that it happened. And in fact, I'll give you a hint, it happened twice. Mm-hmm. So I'll take one of those 2 years.
Trick question.
One of those 2 years.
Okay.
And whoever gets it right will, you know, hey, we have all kinds of free stuff.
We got some prizes.
Yeah, it'll be a great prize.
We'll send you something.
It'll be pretty awesome.
Just to reward you for listening
all
this way.
Yes.
Through. And, of course, you stayed for Matt Miller because
absolutely
he has fantastic insight. But, you know, you and me, we're like...
We're incentive-laden, you know.
Yes, it's tough to get people to sit through our spiels sometimes. But if you have made it this far... get on Twitter, tweet Daniel, it's Falcons D Cox, on Twitter, and go ahead and get your answers in because the first one, is that what it is? The first one to tell you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
First one to tell Daniel. So go there now, look it up, get on the Googles, find out, and, get that to Daniel. Daniel will pick the winner and, send you a nice prize.
Yep.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I might enter this myself.
Okay.
Do I qualify or?
What is it? What do they always say?
No
relatives
friends.
And employees don't qualify.
Darn it. Oh, well, one of these days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us on another edition of the FalconCast podcast. We'll be back next week. Who we got next week? Do we have anything set for next week? What are we looking at? We're going to keep it a surprise?
No, I'm working some stuff.
Okay, we got a couple angles.
Maybe, speaking of Twitter, maybe if fans want to mention potential guests that they'd like to see.
Sure. Hey, we will certainly entertain those.
We can answer the call. We do the best we can. But, you know, yeah.
Sounds good.
We're working on some things.
Sounds good. All right, well, make sure to check in next week as we have a... another surprise celebrity guest on the way.
Yes.
And thanks again for joining us, and we will catch you next week.